I'd like us to turn back to the passage that Tim has read to us in Luke 17 there. And I would also like to bring to your attention some scriptures which you will remember Pastor used in his opening family prayer last week. I thought he was going to steal my thunder, but they're lovely scriptures. And we'll just read the first five verses of that Psalm 103 together. And David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Particularly that second verse. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." On this 95th year after Gallipoli, as many people gather across Australia, New Zealand, and indeed many countries of the world today, the Anzac Ode to the Fallen is being recited for remembrance. I find those words rather telling, as I'm sure you do too. "They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them." We will remember them, lest we forget. Indeed, lest we forget the sacrifice of those who gave their lives so that you and I might remain free today from tyranny. And apart from all the many theatres of the war and wars down through the ages, we only have to think nearer home of the Kokoda campaign alone, don't we, to realise what some of these young men, these soldiers went through to halt the enemy's advance, and how thankful we should be to them for what they have done. And we think of that today, lest we forget. It's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus spoke of that quality of sacrifice and love that these men gave for one another and for us. Remember those words that he said to his disciples, "A greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Greater love. And as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, is this day, Anzac Day, not also a reminder to reflect upon the all-supreme sacrifice that he gave at the cross so that we might be delivered from the far greater tyranny of sin and of the kingdom of darkness, and indeed to be brought into the peace of God and to have peace with God. Very precious. That's what our Lord Jesus has provided for you and for me. And of course, we remember Paul the Apostle when he spoke of this supreme sacrifice when no greater love could have been shown. Remember those verses in Romans chapter 5 when he said, "For when we were still without strength, still powerless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And those added glorious words which I was reading this morning in chapter 8 of Romans, which tells us that God did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. John in his gospel, the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, tells us that Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. I was interested to note that really literally means to the uttermost. And one of the reliable newer translations puts it this way: having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. That's what he's done for us. He has shown us the full extent of his love. Loved us to the end, to the uttermost. Lest we forget, last Sunday morning we had the Lord's table here, and of course this is always a wonderful opportunity, isn't it, to remember, to reflect upon that unselfish love of the Lord Jesus. When we meet around the Lord's table, did not he say to us, "Do this in remembrance of me"? And we've just gone through another Easter period, and of course each year we do take that time to reflect in depth, do we not, upon the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Today is such a day. And you know, when we consider such loving self-sacrifice, surely he is worthy of our remembrance of that love at all times. Psalmist, he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times, and his praise shall be continually on my lips." Well, he gave us a good example, didn't he? We want to do that at all times. And of course, Psalm 103:2 that we read earlier, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, one who didn't forget, of course, was this leper, this Samaritan here in chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel. This Samaritan who, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and he glorified God rather loudly. I think perhaps a little more loudly than some of us might be used to doing at times. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. You know, it's refreshing these days, don't you find, when we may have opportunity to show a courtesy to someone, perhaps opening the shop door for them to come out, the customer before us to come out. It's refreshing to hear them say, "Thank you." It doesn't always happen. does it? It's refreshing when it does. One occasion, a year or so back, Judy had an opportunity to do this, as I suppose we all do from time to time. But on this particular occasion, she did this for what turned out to be three generations of the one family. There was little granddaughter, there was mum, and there was grandma. The little granddaughter came out first. Judy was holding the door open. She said nothing. Mum came out secondly. She went through. She said nothing. Grandma came through, right past Judy, and she said nothing. I sort of wonder that the little granddaughter said nothing, if Mum never learned from her mum to say that. But it's refreshing when it does happen, isn't it? And I suppose when it doesn't happen and the individual just walks through and says nothing at all, it's hard not to follow up with them and with some appropriate remark. But I remember my mum and dad telling me of someone who couldn't hold his tongue. He was an old friend of the family's, going back a bit now, and they said that one day he was riding on one of the Sydney trams coming in from the suburbs. Now it's going back a bit, isn't it? And the tram, as usual, was full, and as it stopped, different ones got on. And as it did so, amongst the passengers that did get on was this woman. No seat. He was sitting down, mum and dad's friend. And here was a woman. She got on. She stood holding onto the strap. But when our friend saw her standing there, he leapt to his feet and offered her his seat. And she sat down, and she said nothing. Now our friend, who was a bit of a wag, gonna let her get away with this. So he said in a stage whisper, "I'm sorry, madam, what was that you said?" She glared at him and said, "I didn't say anything." "Oh, I beg your pardon, madam," he said. "I thought I heard you say thank you." Well, let's trust we never get into that embarrassing situation. But you know, as believers in our Lord Jesus, as Christians, isn't this one of those areas where we can show a difference from those around us who are not thankful, who never say thank you? Many non-Christians, of course, do respond very favourably. They are grateful for all that is done. But many do not. And when we see a Christian who does not, does this not reflect upon the one they profess to love and to have been grateful to for their salvation? No, we can show a difference as Christians by being thankful and saying so. And the Apostle Paul, didn't he say, in everything give thanks? Certainly when someone shows us a courtesy. Now I know how much we do appreciate our pastor, and it's a good opportunity now that he's not here this weekend not to embarrass him, but the ministry that he and Nolene carry through, are involved in, their love for God's people and for those outside of Christ, and the time, week after week, of preparation for the ministry of God's word here from this pulpit. I wonder, brothers and sisters, on the way out, if pastor standing at the door or moving around amongst us during the cup of time, Do you take the time just to thank him for his ministry and particularly for the preaching of his word, God's word? Not just to thank him, say thank you, Pastor, as you go through the door or speak to him, but to take time to comment on what he has said. Pastor, thank you for that word. That was a real blessing. You know, what you said about the Lord Jesus in that aspect, you know, I'd never seen that before. It was a real blessing to me. It won't go to his head, you know, but he'll be so appreciative. In all things, give thanks. And, you know, take time to show your appreciation by letting him know. We know that you do appreciate what he says and does. Don't forget to let him know that. It's lovely when little children are so appreciative of what their parents do. Thanks, Mummy, for that. And I know because Judy and I have been married for perhaps a little longer than we would. Now the years go by, don't they? I know how much that little word of thanks and appreciation is appreciated. If you enjoyed your dinner, let her know. And even if you didn't enjoy it. Anyway, you can't get away with that, I suppose, because our wives really do know what we're thinking, don't they? But, no. Let's not take them for granted. Let's let them know how much they are appreciated. We should always be thankful to one another and tell them that we are. But you know, although this is true, God has shown us far greater benefits than we could ever show to one another, hasn't he? As we saw there in Psalm 103, that he's forgiven us all our iniquities. Have you ever said, thank you for that, Lord? There's no sin that's going to plague me because you have cleansed me completely as I have confessed it. And when I came to you initially for salvation and repented of my sin and turned from it to you in faith, you forgave me all my iniquities. Wonderful to know that. All. And you have brought your healing to me in so many ways. You have redeemed my life from destruction. We're being told by authorities that the present generation may not have too much hope. The young people coming on, because of what many of them are doing to themselves with the drugs and alcohol. No hope. They've put God out of their lives. And there's a whole generation, brothers and sisters, there who are self-destructing, we're told. The Lord Jesus, he has come into your life and mine and saved us from destruction, hasn't he? Praise his name. Are we thankful for that? Oh, are we thankful? He's crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies each morning, hasn't he? They're new. And he's satisfied our mouth with good things. All that he is and has, he wants to share with us and to fill our mouths with his praise. He satisfies our mouth, doesn't he? With himself. And so, if these things are true, does he not deserve that we return often in our thoughts and prayers to give him grateful thanks, which would overflow into worship and cause us to cry personally, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, as I remember all your benefits. Indeed, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation," David said in Psalm 68, loads us with benefits. God is such an extravagant God, isn't he? Not penny-pinching. So extravagant, so generous. He gives and gives and gives again. You know, I was incensed this morning, as many of you would have been too if you had heard on the news of a war memorial in one of the Sydney suburbs being desecrated by a group of young boys. Lads without understanding, without appreciation of what that war memorial signifies to us as a country. We become incensed, don't we, when these things happen? We do, and rightly so. But you know, what about our attitude to Christ's sacrificial love for us? Do we ever take that for granted? Without appreciation? Is it right, do you think, that we should receive all of God's gifts and not return to give him thanks? Has God's love ever gripped your heart and caused you on that occasion to cry out and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the greatest of all benefits that you have given to me, the greatest of all. You died in my place for me"? I wonder whether we think whether God himself is beyond feeling it when we are not grateful. We feel it when someone may not thank us, and after all, we are made in God's image, aren't we? Well, the Lord Jesus felt it on this occasion in Luke 17 after healing those 10 lepers, and when only one of them came back to acknowledge him. Did he say, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And it's fascinating that the one who did return was a Samaritan. You noted that? A Samaritan. Now that's significant indeed, because as a Samaritan leper, he would have been doubly repulsive to any Jews that were around. The Jews hated the Samaritans anyway, even when they were healthy. But if they were leprous, doubly repulsive. And you had verse 14 there, where the Lord gave them the command when they stood afar off and said, "Have mercy on us." In verse 14 there, when he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Of course, according to the law of Moses, particularly in the book of Leviticus, in chapters 13 and 14, which you can look up yourselves, anyone who believed that they were now clear of this terrible skin disease, they had to have it, their cleansing, verified by the Jewish priests so that they could be allowed to come back into the society, the mainstream of society. They'd been put away, of course, when they had been declared a leper because of infection and so on. And these priests, these Jewish priests, at that time, they acted as what we might call a board of health.
Uh-huh.
They had to give the clearance, the health certificate. And, you know, that those scriptures in Leviticus were in part of what is known as the Pentateuch. Now, the Jews accepted the whole of the Old Testament, of course. The Pentateuch, of course, is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses, first five books. But the Samaritans, they accepted those as God's word, but not the rest of the Old Testament in the main. And so, the Samaritan and the other nine, whom we assume were Jews, we're not told that, but we're assuming so, they would have known just why Jesus told them to do so, to go show themselves to the priests. Because it was there in the scriptures that they accepted. They knew. Go show yourselves to the priests. So the Samaritan and the other nine knew when Jesus told them to do this, that their healing was absolutely certain. There was no point in wasting the priest's time, was there, unless you were now free of the disease? They are absolutely certain. Jesus had given them that command. And they went. They knew, and their faith, as they went, they were healed. But you know, in verse 19, there is and would be an added blessing to this one who did return on his own in thankfulness. A special blessing for him, over and above the blessing of healing to those other nine. And the words of the Lord Jesus there in verse 19 are these. He said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." You see here, the added blessing to this Samaritan was the assurance of salvation from the Lord's own lips. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. I wonder, have you ever heard those words from him yourself? Those of us who are saved and know it have indeed. Have we all heard those words for ourselves? We will hear them as we come to him, as we return in acknowledgement of his wonderful sacrificial love for us on the cross. We will hear those words for ourselves. The glorious assurance that our faith has made us well. And in closing, as we reflect today on the sacrifice of so many on our behalf, may we also return in our hearts indeed to reflect again in worship and deep thankfulness upon Christ's own loving sacrifice. As Paul said, the Son of God loved me, didn't he? And gave himself for me. To return to give him thanks for those eternal benefits brought to us through his death, burial, resurrection and ascension. in order to deliver us from sin's tyranny. Dear brothers and sisters, lest we forget. Let's remember the blessings of that love by joining together, shall we, in the singing of Song 29. What a wonderful opportunity to do this, just as we remain seated. Number 20.